All right. I am with Aloaba. I don't know your surname.
Nano.
Nano, yes. Just forgot it. Yeah. Alona Nano. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you around. I just want you to introduce yourself, then we can just get into the business.
Business. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hello to the listeners. My name is Aloaba Nano. I'm originally from the Eastern Cape. Came to Cape Town to study. I met the host at CPUT and church, actually. I think church before church, knowing that we're in the same institution. And then, and I'm here working.
Beautiful. So what do you do?
Okay, currently I'm working in one of their stores in town.
Mm. And then the course that you did?
Okay, I came to Cape Town from PE. Mm. I did logistics in PE. And then when I came to Cape Town, I discovered that they don't have logistics. So I entered into retail with the mind that I can major with logistics, because we did logistics as a module in retail, only to find out that it is something similar but completely different, because logistics is more into reports, transport, and all of that, and retail is something different.
Nice. Okay. I think since we're already in the logistics, we might as well just start from there. Mm-hmm. Where did you do your logistics?
I was in PE for my first year. So I studied in PE, but since I have a brother who's in Cape Town, he suggested, no, just come to Cape Town, bigger city, more opportunities and everything. So I was like, okay, why not? Mm-hmm. And we would have been like close to each other since we lost a mom, and we're really close to each other. So that's how I got to come to Cape Town.
Okay, and then so you choose logistics at first, right? What informed you choosing logistic? Was it just something where you're just winging it, or is it something where you were like, okay, I think I'm in love with logistics?
Okay, well, the fact that it had to do with transport and thinking that you would have to be sitting, writing reports, if something is failing, what do you do? And if I like to think on the spot, and I love things that are challenging. So those reports of having to correct and redo things if they don't work, that's what made me feel like, okay, I think I would be a perfect match for this type of job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then now you get to this side, which is Cape Town. And then, like you said earlier on, that you wanted to do retail management. Mm-hmm. It's retail management, right?
It's retail management.
Okay. I don't know why I keep on asking. You know, because the thing is, sometimes the reason why I'm saying that is there are so many courses out there, and most people don't even know that they're actually there.
They're actually,
And it's so important, like... For the podcast as well, that we should have that conversation. Okay, there's something called retail management. Mm. It's not logistics. It's something different. And I think we're just going to get into it, right? So when you did your logistics, when you get to retail, when you're at school, what was like a big shocker? You're like, hey.
A big shock?
Yeah.
Okay, well, where I am... is one of the phases where you can start, right? Retail is really broad. You have your retail banking. Mm. You could be working in one of the retail stores' head offices. You could be a category assistant, a buyer, a planner. So where I'm at is one of like the very first levels, if I could say, or second levels of being in retail. So I'm in a stage where I get to see what happens in the real world of retail, because the ideas, the planning comes from the top, but the implementation happens right at the bottom where You get to drive sales. If something is not working, if something is not selling for your store, what do you do to generate? Because at the end of the day, your superiors or your leaders, all they want to see is growing numbers.
Oh, I get what you mean now. So I don't wanna ask it this way, but I think this would be the best way to ask it, right?
No,
to say, to say, if you were to sum, is there a way to like sum up what retail management is? And before I ask my next question, because I just when you were explaining that, I kind of like have an idea of what it is. But is there maybe a statement or monologue? Yes, of what it is. Which just sum up what it is.
Okay. Well, I think retail is the future, right? Concerning how things are moving digitally, because you get your Superbalist. You see, stores like Take A Lot, Superbalist, that's all retail. Then you get your physical stores. So basically, in simple terms, retail is selling.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Selling.
Yeah, now it makes sense because
simple.
I remember when we were talking about the about having you as a guest.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, what do you do? Said retail management. I was like, okay, cool. Because I have a place where I actually go search for information.
For information,
right?
Just to understand.
And yes. So I go and read books or listen to books. So when I searched for retail management, all I saw was franchises. What is, I mean, because you see sometimes there are courses, like, to be honest with you, which I didn't have an idea what it is. I remember even when I had a lawyer through, I didn't even know what law is about.
It's about,
and I actually realized that how much clueless I am about the law, like the South African law,
because
there are many things that you can do which can put you in a very compromised state. Like, let's say maybe the idea of, especially for us as content creators, we have to say allegedly. Just to put ourselves
to
in a, you know,
be in a safe position all the time.
So I realized that there's a lot that I don't know as well. So when I was checking, when I saw that, okay, it's actually franchising, and I just thought, it's actually very deep as
deep,
well.
Yeah.
So I think you were explaining on, it's very broad. That's where you were talking about, that it's very broad, and you are the workforce at this point, and this is where you started as a workforce, right? I know you have said it, but I just want you to say it in detail now, right? That when you are into retail management, what are the different things that you do, and maybe just explain them as well? Because I remember you said something like a buyer, strategist,
and
planner. Yes.
Okay.
So just explain maybe different things in terms of even the places where you actually do those different stuff.
Okay. So I'll try to be very basic and summarize everything. Okay, so back to my point where I said that basically retail is selling. So everyone is at a point where they're trying to survive against competitors, trying to position themselves as a brand on how they can be competitive enough to survive in an environment where everyone is just selling. And there, sometimes it can be a point of selling the exact same product, but how do you distinguish and position yourself to attract and keep customer loyalty so that you know that you've got the space and all of that. So basically, you've got your people at the top that plan that, okay, we want to introduce this, we want to have, okay, I'll be basically speaking on what I do because I think it will be simple.
Sure.
We want to have this pharmacy because we see a need in the community and everything, and which branches into cosmetics and all of that. So you'd find that in around, there are other people that offer the same thing, the same product. So you brand yourself, you brand yourself and you position yourself in a way that people will be able to see you, they'll be able to recognize you, your prices as well are a way for you to stay competitive because everything's just so expensive these days. So you also have to capitalize on your pricing strategies and then on just the quality that you offer of the certain products. So when I said that I'm basically at the workforce, so in stores, we actually check on paper how they want everything to be positioned, where they want what, the planograms, how everything's supposed to be, so that when a customer looks at the thing, they can't just resist not buying, you see?
So basically it's also, it goes to the layout of the actual shop.
The actual shop and how everything is positioned and all of that. Yeah, and also the service is like really important. So those are the things that we look at. That when a customer goes into the store, it's not only about buying or getting the need that they want, right? But it's also about the experience that they get throughout. So my job is actually to lead people, to make sure people that they are buying, to make sure that things are available for people to buy and that they don't run out of the shelf. So, but we nowadays we have systems that replenish so that people can like constantly be buying stuff so that to avoid things like having things that are out of stock in the store and everything. So that's my day to day, and also focus on the sales, what's working, what's not working, what's not selling, because you also have to understand your market. What are people around us wanting? What are they liking? And where we are, we have a lot of offices around. So it's basically just young people and people that are on the go, people that are going home, or people passing when they are going to work. So you never find people buying with big trolleys because they are on the way.
They're
from work or they're going to work. But we really capitalize on the young ones with the makeup and all of that.
I like that. I think even when you're explaining now, in terms of you talk to the people who are on the go and the setup of everything. So you are working as a store manager, right? And I heard you saying something like you check in terms of what's working and what's not working. Was it is it a strategy of how you put the layout, or is it how certain things are put in a certain shelf? When you say what's working and what's not working, what are you looking at?
What am I referring? Okay, basically the type of product is not just for the market, because you get, which it shouldn't be, you get your facial products like your L'Oreal, any other brand that are associated to certain races, right? And then you'd find that they don't sell because people think that it's only for white people or it's only for a certain type. Race, but when it comes to skin, we need to educate that people, it only depends on the type of skin, but not on the color that you have. So you'd find things that don't go because of certain perceptions, how they've been stereotyped and all of that.
And then you as a manager, you have to make sure you're managing, the way that sounds to me, it's like you're managing, like, if not, let me say two for now, that's what I can think on the top of three, actually. You're managing the store. You're managing your workers. And you're managing customers.
Yes.
And how hectic is that?
It can be really hectic because you have to juggle. But what I like about is you're not the only one. Because I think there are two.
Don't say where you're working. Just to...
Okay, just to keep it out.
But let's cut this one out.
I've been trying so much not to say it. Okay, what I like about where I work is the fact that you're not the only one. So there's more than one. Like in my store, it's a huge store, so we are two.
Two managers.
So yeah, so we can help each other. Sure. And I believe that two is better than one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get to another level where they draft all ideas, they brainstorm, They think that, okay, if we would put a particular product in a certain place, it would work. If we would do this where the posters are done and everything. So that's your head office where I spoke of things like your category management, where you actually categorize each brand. Because you'd see that you don't get medicine and then you get cool drink and then you get chips and whatever. It's always the similar things next to each other. So that's how you get to have category managers and all of that, that look into brands. They take samples as well, because sometimes they do new products that have to be tested before they go out into people and all of that. So they're all basically busy with all of those. And then when it comes to buying, there's just a whole lot to sell.
So now you're you're basically explaining on the category. Did you call it
category management?
Management. Yes, okay. Yes. So that was the category management which happens in the head office.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they basically study different products and they categorize them.
And then what's your relationship with them as a store manager?
Okay, your relationship with them is you having to implement everything that they bring out.
Yeah, I want to understand, like, how is that, is if you use the word briefing or
briefing meeting, yeah,
how is that, like, do they just bring one person from the head office or you?
So it's always on office? It's always online, like through the computer. There are applications where you download everything. They send mails and everything, so that's when you can respond, because probably you could be a category manager, like Shepherd Pandeka is the category manager of my store. So you're the direct person to communicate to, that, hi, I think a certain brand is not working in my store because of the fact that it hasn't been selling for 4 months or whatever. So how about you try and bring me something else, or you see. So you have to go back to the drawing board and try to check what you can substitute it with and all of that.
So you guys, let's say, for example, you get to a point where there's a product that's not working, right? And its shelf life, it's very close. So what do you do? Is that a point where you start putting discounts and stuff?
Okay, so you get stuff that can go back to the supplier, but within a certain period. So you get organic products that can go back to the supplier within 60 days before the expiry date. Some are 30, and then you just get stuff that just don't go back to the supplier or don't go back to the distribution center. So those are the things that we mark down. And funny enough, on a daily basis in a store, there's always something to mark down. So it's a rule that at the end of each day, you must have things that you must destroy. So sometimes those things come from the things that expire, just as you said, because it's not moving. Mm-hmm. And you've tried to do a lot of things because you try to check. Maybe you try and send it to a different area. You see, try to send it to a different area where you think that it might sell. Or if they don't want it, probably because they've experienced that it doesn't sell in their place as well. You try to mark it down. And if it still doesn't sell and it goes to its expiry date, then you have to destroy it, and it's a loss for your store.
I'm gonna get to the part where you say destroy. but let's say, for example, I just want to understand this as a consumer, right? You as a manager, when you see that there's things that needs to be marked down, what kind of want to look for the right word. What kind of information can you share that information that, okay, with maybe your relatives or anyone, that, hey guys, there's this thing that's being marked down from 65 rands to 40 rands. Like what ethics is required for that kind of scenario?
Okay, I understand you.
Because I might as well just have your number.
I understand you. Well, as long as you're a consumer and you're going to buy it, because even with things that are not expired, you'd find that we do advertise because you want to drive sales. So when we have like your Black Friday promotions, electrical sales and all of that, we do tell people. So why not tell people? And people are aware of these because you'd find customers coming into the store, coming to look for markdowns. Mm. And you have your regulars that come just to come around and see that if there aren't any markdowns. And the reason why we have to destroy them is because if you would dispose something as it is, someone else outside can use it, you see. And that puts you in a not so safe position, you see. Yeah, so that's where destroying comes in.
I remember there was, talking about destroying, I remember there was a time when I was one of the food sellers, right? So I see them taking out the, you know, those cakes, those display cakes and stuff. So we see them throwing them, like they're just taking the food and throwing it inside the black bag. I'm like,
what's so happening?
I was with my friend. I'm like, guys, what's happening? Wait, whoa. Wait a minute. Please, before you throw all the stuff, can you please just hold on? Then I asked the guy, hey, why are you throwing away food, right? So he said, no, this is the food. Its shelf life has passed, right? Yeah. So we have to actually throw it away. And I'm like, why can't you just give us maybe for half price or something like that? Like, no, we can't give you because we're not allowed to give you that. So the one thing that he said, sometimes depending on wherever they do, is either they give it to the orphanages or they actually like destroy it, like you said.
Yeah.
But for me, it was so weird that people can just throw away food or because I think most of the time it's food that's throwable away, but the other stuff maybe I think
they could be fine.
Find a way of recycling or whatever, taking it back to the, like you were saying, they're taking back to the manufacturer and the manufacturer can just
do what they need to do. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. But I think also as well, when it comes to food, it becomes a very sensitive issue because you get like your food poisoning and all of that. And there's a reason why a product has an expiry date, so that people are safe, you see, and we sell them things that are safe for them to consume. But you do get things that are fine to consume, like your chips and all of that. But when it comes to medicine and all other things, they do say that something has a 6 months shelf life after expiry. So those are fine to buy. All of that,
I want us to get into Black Friday. I know you. I want. I was something that I wanted to talk about. How do you do you guys as managers or whether it's a category, I don't know who manages the Black Friday stuff. What is the planning like behind Black Fridays? I mean, right now as we're speaking, it's on a Saturday of Black Friday.
So and it's happening. And it's people are happening. Shopping.
Yeah. So I think this episode is actually going to come out not this Monday, the other Monday.
The other Monday, yeah.
Yes. So it'll be way longer. So whatever that we are saying, gonna say now, they're gonna use it for the next Black Friday.
For the next Black Friday, yeah.
So what I wanted to say is, what is the planning behind Black Friday?
Everything.
How are the stores thinking in terms of putting markdowns? What is the plan ahead of the Black Friday as a store manager?
Okay, look, as I said that, with the level that I'm in, it's the last level that entails with executing. So basically, our job is just executing everything that is on paper. So the people that draw all the markdowns, the promotions, what should be on the promotion, what which products will be selling for Black Friday and all of that are at head office. So those are your people that would be in the pricing and promotion department, your marketing. So those are all people that deal with those. So if you, if the paper or an email comes that I should sell this for Black Friday, so my job is to simply make it look representable for someone to actually buy it on Black Friday.
I think I'm getting to understand
to
it.
To understand how everything now, goes. Yes. You see, so everything comes from the
all
top.
All the way up.
And
yes.
then we just execute at the bottom.
And then I think you, when you were explaining, you explained your work as a store manager,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
An implementer. Then mm-hmm. you have category
assistants, your buyers,
planners.
Your planners.
So, just
so
want you to
your buyers
the
are
other
also
ones.
People that decide what you'll be selling in your company. So let's say you have a baby department.
Mm.
So the type of clothes, the type of food, the type of nappies, the type of bottles, the type of everything that is sold in a particular department all depends on the buyer.
Mm.
So if you're a buyer, you travel and you buy all the types of products. So it happens anyway, even in an industry that you understand, electrical industry or whatever.
Oh,
so
yeah.
instead of us selling another brand, but we would be selling this brand because
Aquila,
the
yeah.
buyer chose.
It's okay to say Aquila.
I can say the name.
You can
okay,
say
yeah.
Aquila because
okay. So
doing
it,
the things.
Yeah, here. The reason why your company would be selling Aquila is because of the buyer.
Mm.
So the buyer chooses,
mean,
yeah.
Mm. Okay, and then with that said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the buyer, you have the, what's the other one?
Category.
I think with the category, after the buyer, you
planner.
Said, I think you talked about this planner.
Space planner and all of that for the stores.
Oh, the space planner. Okay, sure.
That, yeah. So there are different departments within the retail industry.
Retail industry.
It's a huge, huge
when
ball.
How do you now marry that with... what's this word with franchising?
Mm-hmm.
When do you now bring the franchising? Is the franchising are you now supposed to know the how franchising
works
as a store
mm-hmm.
manager, or is it something which is done up ahead?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know how
it's done
comes in. Yes.
Okay, so I've seen that it's different with every company because for some companies there are a group that open different stores all around the world. So everything's the same.
Mm-hmm.
The communique's the same. The planning's the same. Everything that's done is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in some companies that the store can be a franchise. You'd find that it's the same brand, same uniform, same products that are being offered, but everything is not done in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a person behind who has a different understanding, who has a different way of how they want things to be carried out, things to be done. So, yeah, that's the difference between a group of companies and a franchise.
I think earlier on when we were talking, you talked about something like that.
Yeah.
That you find that maybe there's a store that sells food,
yeah.
right? And
and
what they do is... The other companies, they
mm-hmm.
do it differently.
Then
and
how?
And I think getting to the food management
mm-hmm.
when it is time for expiring,
mm-hmm.
when it gets very close to its expiring date,
they
actually they
don't
want to
waste the food.
Yes.
They would sell it to people while they were actually supposed to throw it away. So it all comes down to ethics and if the person is equipped enough to do what they're supposed to be doing. So... Because I think a person wouldn't do that if they really know that it's unethical and what are the costs that it could bring to the camp. I mean, there are things like cancel culture now.
Mm,
so you don't want to your business to be on the wrong side.
And then what kind of consequences that
can one face, right?
Yeah, when
there's
when
the Consumer Protection Act.
Mm.
So consumers can make use of that whenever they have problems like your pricing, return policies, and all of that. So there's always a place for consumers to complain. So that's why you'd find that if a company will be telling you that there are no refunds, it has to be written in a place that it will be visible for the consumer to see. So you'd find that the return policies of most companies are at the back of their receipts.
So that when
you come back, they tell you, nobody, read at the back. Everything is stipulated here that you can only, you only have a week. Within a week of buying something, if everything is in a sellable condition, then you can bring it back. Or else after that, then it has to be a guarantee. Or else if something is faulty, then there's no other way. The person must return it back.
Mm. No, that's so cool. I'm actually loving and understanding. Mm. So coming with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you, let's say... are you the best person? Not, I'm trying to look for the right words. So, which means you doing retail management, it makes it easy for you to actually own your own franchises or actually even start your own business.
My own business. Okay. All I can do is it's helping me with the skills of side because I have something that I'm doing on the side. And I think
you can also talk about it because... I mean,
it is part, right?
I
have a hair business thing that I'm starting on the side. So I am learning a thing or that. And sometimes it's different.
Weaves and...
It's different from how you learn from the book and how things are actually happening in real life. So being where I work, it really exposes me to how everything goes on, how people are, how impulsive people can be, what words to use when you really want people to buy. But for me to say that I'll have a franchise one day, I think I'll be branching out. But I feel like that in this journey of life, retail was something that I needed to equip me for
empower yourself,
where I'm going.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to, because I don't know, there's some people don't like talking about their plans. But it's something which maybe to ask on a general note.
On a general note, yeah.
Being in a store, it allows you to easily become a retail, like a franchisee, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next
question. Because you like, you know,
the ins and outs.
The ins and outs. So you have your ideas. You've practically implemented other people's ideas. Because, I mean, they're trying out. It's basically they also don't know what to do. And they also don't know what is right or wrong. Mm. But they're always just trying out different methods that can work, you see, that can retain their customers. So being exposed to that is putting me in another level.
Nice. I think there's a story of an owner of a franchisee.
Mm-hmm.
Franchisee, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got frustrated with... because remember, if it's a franchisee, that means the systems that are being used.
Yes.
So you can't... Let's say this owner was a food... industry,
okay,
with the restaurants,
okay,
so the way that you cook certain things was standard, you couldn't change anything,
yeah, because it has to taste
the same.
Yeah.
Yes. So what he did was to actually open his own next to the other one.
Oh my
right?
word, that was brave.
Yeah, that was very brave. And I actually noticed, because I was just passing through the mall, and then I just someone was just narrating that story that okay, this was the person like this who was a manager, and then they just made a franchise of their own restaurant, which does almost like, because remember, they already have
the suppliers.
Numbers and all those stuff, right?
And those people talk to you.
Really?
They know you more than they know.
Oh, yeah,
because
they know,
yeah, there are
true people
behind, but they interact with you on a daily basis.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So what he did is he started his own, it's like a, not necessarily a very close, but just that with different twist to the menus and all those stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I've noticed is that when I heard that story, I was like, yeah, that was very brief, like you say. But right now, the store closed.
Yes.
And I feel like probably the store closed because I actually went, after hearing that story, I went to go try their food. Because, you know, when you have been eating, let's say, this guy's the wrong pay me, man. They say you eat food from a certain store, right? Mm-hmm. And you're so used to it. And then there's something which is closer to that.
To that.
Right? And when you go, you actually know the other one. Then you have a reference, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
I actually noticed that his stuff is actually different. There's a twist.
There's like a twist,
you can
yeah.
see the twist that he wanted, right?
That they were missing.
Yes. So what I've noticed is that I went there to try their food.
Mm-hmm.
And after trying the food, I was like, oh, this is actually nice.
Nice, yeah.
But now I realize that they've closed down. And my only assumption of why they closed down was the name of the brand. Because he had to study. He changed the name to his own name.
Mm-hmm.
Though the food was very similar.
Mm.
But because of the brand, it was not possible to pick up traction.
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, I'm just giving you just a case scenario. What could be the reasons why something like that could happen?
Could happen.
Yes.
Okay. So there could be a lot of reasons, especially because you said that the product was good and it was well received and everything. So the systems could have gone wrong, and also branding and positioning the company. Because you also mentioned that he changed the name. So there are a lot of things that are involved with franchising, finances. Something could have gone wrong in the finances or branding and positioning the company or staffing, because sometimes the company culture is important as well.
Oh,
and
I feel
that's what most companies tend to neglect and not care about. When a company keeps on losing employees, then what is the point of its existence? If they can't, how will they make the next person happy if they can't make people happy within the company?
Hey, so that one is very much important.
A company culture is very much important.
Company culture. Now, you see, when you say that, I was just thinking of another scenario.
Yeah.
But I'm actually learning from that, because when you're in an organization, when you're losing people, it means that there's no reason for that organization to still be there.
You see,
Interesting. It's so interesting.
Because the people represent the brand.
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
so which means that could be one of the reasons it didn't work through.
Because if the product is well received, then
I think I lock in with Buzz today.
It means that there's no issue if the product is well received. Because sometimes people tend to reject the product. Sometimes it takes longer for brands that introduce certain products for people to actually get used to it or to pick up in making sales. Because, I mean, in the store, we have products that have been there. They have their own stands, own condolas and everything, but they're not picking up.
What is a condola?
A condola. Do you know these retail companies are actually making money? So every brand wants to be
separate,
right?
Set apart.
They want to be set apart. They want to be seen and all of that.
Yeah.
So a condola is a certain part of the module or shelf in the store that only has a particular brand. So they can do their own branding. Some stands have lights and all of that. You do enter the store, you can't ignore but to look at whatever is presented on.
So they are adding on top of the category planners.
Yeah, and they pay money. Hey?
Really?
They do. So you'd find
certain
reps.
It's almost like advertising, right?
Yes, okay. Almost like advertising. So you'd find certain reps, merchandisers coming into the store. They're actually coming to look after the stand to see that it's for the product that's supposed to be on the stand is on. Because they tend to fight with us a lot. Because if we don't have space, we sometimes just shove anything next to it. Or if we don't have stock, but they don't want that, they would rather say, okay, just give us a sister brand of this company if you don't have a particular brand to be on the stand because they pay. So different sections are for different brands in the store and they pay monthly.
Mm.
So retail companies are really making money.
Oh, that's actually cool, eh? It's very cool.
It is.
And
cool.
then in terms of I think you were talking about Take a Lot. I feel like Take a Lot, so I might partner with Take a Lot at some point. Mm-hmm. Take a Lot, you must partner with the Stacker Podcast.
Can we make Take a Lot? They should. They should. I mean,
can we make Take a Lot, right? Mm-hmm. For online brands or for online stores.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work is it? Is it like a different animal altogether, or
it is a different animal because there are no planograms, there are no categories, there's no store layout, there are no marketing posters that have to be designed and everything. So it's basically just people communicating with customers and time. So it's just transport, the product, the consultant communicating with the customer, and delivery.
And just making the website
and
look
just
nice
making yeah or so the it's app, more yeah. of graphics and all of that and that's a different type of department.
So with that said, right,
mm-hmm.
I want us to get into your daily job. Like, what do you do on a daily basis?
On a daily routine.
Yeah, like, what's your routine like?
What's our routine like? Okay, you basically just, you open the store and in the morning...
What do you guys do before the store opens and after the store closes?
Admin, because...
I know you guys, there's like meetings sometimes.
Yeah, sure. So there's, you'd find that managers are the first people to get into the store. So there's admin work to be done. You get your refunds, your voids, your transactions, your mailings. You also get direct store deliveries, right? So some things come through a DC delivery, which we get on certain days. So DC. That comes from the warehouse, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we call, that's like the distribution center.
Mm.
That comes from the warehouse.
Okay.
They come, they deliver certain products. So our systems now, they replenish automatically. So if you take something out of the shelf, the system will automatically replenish. So
it's
they know how many.
It automatically sees, okay, if you one's go missing. scan,
mm-hmm.
so
and
it's
you
already.
Sell it out.
What kind of systems is that? What kind of program
MMS.
Is that?
We're using MMS systems.
What is it called? Is it MMS systems or is that the name?
The name, yeah.
Okay.
So, the whole process is replenishing. So if someone comes and they buy two bottles on the system, it's already recognized that there are two bottles that went out, and next time the delivery comes, they will send two bottles. So on each day, it's registering how many.
Oh, so they actually send it. Do they send it the two bottles that were taken?
Yeah, so that you can refill the shelf. And the shelf is not meant to be empty.
Yes,
because if it's empty, then you can't sell.
So they actually just send someone to just send those two bottles of that were taken.
No, I mean with the whole. So like you have certain day, like where we are. I think we receive deliveries almost every day, but you get smaller stores that receive deliveries probably 3 times per week. So when the DC comes, they're just bringing everything that has been sold out in the store.
Replenishing,
yeah. That's what
it sounds so cool, eh? It really sounds. And then it shows that people, whoever that is doing this thing, the reason why it's also working is because the system's already there, everything works.
And I feel like things will be digital in the next years to come. Retail,
you can feel it yourself
digital.
As a
I feel like it.
Yeah.
Like Take a Lot is the future, what they're doing. So in the morning, so that's what you get busy with. And then you also get deliveries like
even this
other brands, other exclusive brands that come through the store and not the DC. And most cool drinks and all of that, they also come through the store. So you have to capture that on the system and all of that. So you deal with those type of things in the morning, and then the staff comes, you have your meetings.
What are you doing in the meetings? What are you talking about?
mainly figures, what we've made, how much we've missed, and all of that.
I think you also talked about targets the other time.
The targets. So we mainly just break down because there's a monthly target, which in the store that I work in, we speak of millions, like your 3 million, 2 point something million for the month. And then they break it down into daily targets. So you'd find that per day we have to make 250,000, 300,000. So we try to brainstorm on ways on how, if beauty is not making money, what can we do? If GNC is not selling, what can we do?
If so what? Those GNC? What is GNC?
Those sports supplements.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
We get a lot of people, especially young ones, that are using those sport nutrition products.
Sure.
Yeah, but some of them don't sell. So we try to find ways on how we can keep it moving and all of that. And then, yeah, we start the day, start selling, and then there'll be communications in between of things that we must implement or problems that they found. Probably in one pack, a customer complained that they found something that they shouldn't find. So you have to find all of that batch, and they have to recheck it if everything is fine before you put it back on the shelf. Mm. You see, so, and you deal with customers. Some customers want to exchange stuff. Some want to return stuff. We have to deal with customer complaints. And there's one thing that these companies are looking at to resolve complaints immediately. They don't want stores that have people that complain. So whenever there's a complaint, you should try to resolve
it there and there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I love how these companies are working on their stuff, and they're making sure that they are as hands on as possible. It's so nice to see because I think sometimes we take it for granted when you get into a shop and you're like, you know that there's going to be nice service, but there's a lot of work that has been done behind to get that. And I think the next question, what you do daily, right? Mm-hmm. And in terms of the growth, mm-hmm. right? You came in as a graduate,
mm-hmm.
so you don't start as a tailor or whatever. Mm-hmm. You start as a manager.
A trainee,
right?
Manager. Mm.
Okay.
So there's a 12-month program that you do.
Mm.
And then after the 12-month program, you go present to the divisional executives of the company. And if they find you competitive, then you sign off.
Mm.
So what they have been doing, because I think most retail companies are trying to change the narrative of their stores. So anyone could be a manager. So they're trying to bring in young people that are fresh from school, to just try and meet them halfway with all the ideas and the things that they want to be implemented in the stores.
And then when you come in as a trainee manager, right,
mm-hmm.
what's the next step from there?
After being signed off, then you go take on your own store, or if none of that interests you, then you can apply outside. But by the time you leave the company, you would have equipped yourself with that whole year's program, the experience, the knowledge, and the certificate that you get to
have. Can you move from food manager to like warehouse?
Or clothing. Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. As really? Long as you have the experience. So I am not stuck to work in a certain
type of
because I have been exposed.
And then how is it like management of people? How is it like? Oh,
that is hectic because, I mean, especially for big stores, because I think in my store we have about 25 people, if not more. So there are different personalities that you have to try and mingle with from different backgrounds.
Mm.
And you're also a different type of person from a different particular ground.
Sure.
So it comes with a lot of learning, failing, trying to do things better, and I guess praying has been helping me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so beautiful. Because I think I had Bonnie last time. He said that the work is not difficult, it's the people who make the work.
The people, they make it difficult. That's true. No. That's true. And I mean, sometimes you come in as a young manager, you'd find that the old people in the store, and you can't just give directions. I mean, even a younger person, people just don't like taking directions. Mm-hmm. So you have to be smart. You have to be asking people things in certain ways. You have to think of a way that's going to be acceptable to them according to their personality, according to how they like to be related to. But also just having the qualities of a leader, remaining a leader, because the work has to go on at the
end. True. That's so insightful. Mm. I feel like there's something that I'm missing.
That you're missing, that you wanted to yeah. that but, you wanted to ask.
But I'm so glad that we had this conversation. I got to understand retail management, and it seems like there's
a lot more to it than just selling. No?
Yes, it sounds like there's a lot. But I think what you have explained in terms of what I get, because you see, as an engineer, let me tell you what happens, right? So I'll go into a store, let's say the store that you're working in, right? My instinct, first instinct is to check, oh, the lighting is terrible,
as an engineer.
And I'm sure you guys have the same thing where you get into a different store, like why did they put this there?
It's not supposed to be here.
It's not supposed to be there.
Exactly. You get that those a lot are the as well. Things, yeah, I do get that a lot.
Sure. No, it's so interesting. Thank you so much, Alwa. I think I learned a lot, and I got to understand retail management. And for me, it's understanding how this machine is working.
I
think I actually said it even on my status yesterday that I think us getting into know, okay, we are all doing different jobs.
Yes.
They were graduating to do all these jobs.
Yes.
And only you can be a very good retail manager, and only me can be a very good electrical engineer, because when you get into electrical engineering, you won't even know what
is what
jargons that can just bring up. Mm-hmm. You understand? But we're all feeding into this one economy that will make it even much better.
Yes.
But thank you so much. I think even now getting into a shop to be understanding all the things that you were sharing today. Mm-hmm. And see how all these things work. Because some of us actually want, some of the listeners, they want to actually start their own businesses.
Their own businesses.
Yes, so
well,
this could be something which can encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe talking about businesses, maybe we can just plug your business once more.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you say you're free to share your number, but
my
if
number
not, you can just maybe put, what do you call this? An email
on.
So that, because you don't want to be getting all these calls.
All these
and
calls.
Stuff. But
you
if you don't mind, if you have a business.
But I do my business online, so I don't mind sharing.
Okay, sure,
because,
sure.
We mainly communicate on WhatsApp with my customers, but I was actually busy with the page because I've been communicating on my personal page. But I can see that the numbers are picking
there's
up.
A need,
so
sure.
There's a need to have something more professional and all of that. That is freestanding on its own. So
I think maybe just explain what you do in detail.
This is
your time to shine.
No, it's my time. Oh, nice.
Sure.
Okay, well, I actually ship here from China. So I have different catalogs online that I get to show my customers. And that I get to advertise on my personal page, different styles, different types of hair. So anyone who's interested then would hook me up on like WhatsApp and we talk. They tell me what they're interested in and everything. So I deliver through Pexi or the Courier Guy if someone is not within Cape Town. It takes about 3 to 5 days, the max. So, yeah, that's basically what I've been doing now. But I'm someone who has always loved to work with hair and all of that. So I'm looking at doing
you used to
other
plate
services
hair, right?
as well. Yeah, I used to plate hair. So I'm thinking, why not wash their wigs as well and do try to do everything? But the only thing that I ever need is time. So I'm trying to restructure my everything so that I can actually be starting to do the things that I like to do. So they can actually get hold of me on 083-399-8675.
What's the name of your company that sells the brand?
Holy Beauty.
Come on. Holy Beauty. When you wear weaves, you will be set apart. Holy means set apart. It means different.
Yes, huh? It's different. It's different. I've got happy clients there. Sure, so sure. They should try me out once.
Awesome. I think I'll just also put your number on the description as well. And yeah, guys, you hear it from Alwa, Holy Beauty. Get yourself a weave. And can you please, the different ones? Please
the different ones.
Please go to everything because people will say that you didn't tell us.
You didn't tell. Yes. Oh, we've got your Malaysian types, your deep waves, your wet curl, water waves, your kinky hairs, your straight. So there's a variety, and I know that my ladies do know what they want. So you just have to ask me for what you want, and I'll hook you up.
Okay. Okay, the ladies, they know what they want.
They know, they know. Okay. I mean, everyone's wearing wigs these days because sometimes it can be convenient, especially when it comes to our natural hair. It needs a lot of patience and care. You have to plait it every day when you go to bed. But with the wigs, especially if you're a working person, you can just plait your hair underneath and just wear it. And you're good to
What's the difference between that one for pasting and the one for pasting? Wearing?
Oh, that's a frontal. Okay. Thank you for reminding
yes,
me.
Yes, yes, please.
Yeah, that's a frontal. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that you have to use glue to be able to install a frontal. And they call it a frontal because it's mainly designed to look like your own hair. Yeah.
No, I think I prefer the one for wearing. Because
for wearing, yeah. Like the frontal one is so complicated with the whole glue and everything. Yeah.
But I think I need to get one for wearing for my wife.
For your wife. Please do. She'll be happy. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. And I think
you must spoil her.
We have been saying that I wanted to do it, but yes, I think I should just do it finally.
Just do it, yeah.
I'm exposing myself. Yeah, thank you so much, Alwa, for coming through.
Thank you so much for having me, man. Because I remember the other time I was asking you, what should I prepare? And you were like, no, it's just basically what you do at work. Yeah. And I enjoyed myself. And I feel like you're going far as well with the whole podcast business.
Yeah.
And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. With that said, is there anything that you want to say, whether to encourage someone or just to say in general?
In general?
Yes.
What I would like to say, because I remember also we were talking about the fact that it will help people, and especially children that are still in school, teenagers that are in high school and all of that. It's important for people to research before they go into a particular course or they apply, because sometimes you assume that something is related to what you are thinking and it's the complete difference. So it's good to research and just do what you want. Because I feel like also sometimes we do what our parents want us to do, what our siblings want us to do. But if you follow what you want, then you'd hardly get people dropping out and doing all other things.
Sure. Thank you so much for that. And that was so nice. The message is to encourage everyone who's coming here. This is a mini university before you get to do your first job. This is before you first do your first class in varsity.
Yes.
Just take this as a way of understanding this is what you're going to be doing when you do retail management. And thank you so much for those kind words as well. And we call it a wrap.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Cheers.